think it's tough.
Careful, say. We began Daf Yud Ches Amud Aleph. The Gemara quotes a brisa regarding an onen of Ein Mevarchim Ola. Now, the question that I was bothered by here is if we go back to Tosus on Daf Yud Zayin Amud Beis. Tosus says clearly, in the name of the Yerushalmi, Im Ratzel Lahachmir Ein Shomin Lo. Which means that an Onen is not just potter from mitzvahs and from brachos, but also he's enjoined from being mevarach. He doesn't even have that option to elect for a bracha. So the question is, now we see the brisa that says Ein Mevarachim Olav, we're not going to make the bracha on his behalf. What is the brisa coming to be mechadish? In other words, what I'd like to analyze here is the unwritten havavina, that maybe, although the onen is potter from a bracha, but nevertheless we should expect that the onen should hear the bracha from someone else. Now, if the onen hears the bracha from someone else, what principle operates? What is the mechanical principle that operates? Shomei Kohen. Okay, good. So the Havamina here is that Shomei Kohen should solve the problem. We have a problem here because at two ends of the polar ends of the spectrum, on the one end we have the fact that an Onen is not chayav in mitzvahs, not chayav in bracha, but on the other hand, we would like to see if there's a way that the Onen could perhaps fulfill his mitzvah of bracha. So how do we reconcile between those two? Is there some sort of a method by which we can have a cake and eat it too? We can.
Sure.
Not exactly a pshara, Harvey. I'm not asking for a compromise. What I want to do is gain both A and B. On the one hand, gain A, that the onen is protected from any violation of, he shouldn't overstep his bounds as an onen. He should be able to have a full kiyum of aninus, and yet at the same time facilitate somehow the ability for him to have his cake, to have the bracha as well. And the Gemara thought, as a havamina, that maybe the method by which we can solve this problem and achieve both ends at the same time is Shomei Ka'ona. So what I'd like to do is take a few minutes of your time to analyze this principle of Shomei Ka'ona and perhaps understand why the Gemara thought that Shomei Ka'ona would be a good option, and at the end of the day, Kavmashmal and the Brice is telling me that no, Shomei Ka'ona is not going to be a good option. Okay, then? So that's what we want to understand, the Salkedaitach of the Gemara and the Kamashmalin of the Gemara. What's unique about Shomei Ka'ona as opposed to the Onen himself making the bracha? Every mitzvah is comprised of two parts, right? We have what's called the Maisa mitzvah, the action of the mitzvah, and the Kiyuma mitzvah. If let's assume, for argument's sake, and we'll talk about this at great length, that the Onen is enjoined from the Maisa mitzvah. We don't want him to actively pursue or implement a Maisa mitzvah, because in doing so, perhaps he's undermining the Kavod HaMes. You know, that he's not involved in the Kavod HaMes, his askus is in something else, in this case, a mitzvah. What's unique then that perhaps could justify Tosus in the Havamina, this Brice, the Shita Satosis, why Shomei Ka'ona would help me? Exactly. Because Shomei Ka'ona is not involved in the Maisa Mitzvah, the Maisa Broch. Someone else is doing the Maisa Broch.
Because it only involves speech.
Right, and if it involves speech, then listening to it is enough. But the difference between speech in an active sense and listening is that where speech is a Maisa Mitzvah, that's the Amira of the Bruch. But in the case of the Shomea, if he's not answering, if he doesn't say anything, he doesn't do anything active, he's passively fulfilling his Kiyuma Mitzvah. So the beauty here in the Havavina of the Gemara is, if not for the Brisa, that I can really have my cake and eat it too. I define and I circumscribe the Iser of the Onein to the Maisa Mitzvah, and yet the Kiyuma Mitzvah he could obtain without a Maisa Mitzvah through the mechanics of Shomer Kona. So in the Havamina, the Gemara thinks beautifully that Shomer Kona is going to resolve our issue. He can at the same time that he's not violating Anidus because he's not doing a Maisa Mitzvah, he at the same time could obtain the Kiyuma Mitzvah, which is the ultimate goal, by Shomer Kona.
So why is he Patur in the first place?
What I'm suggesting is not why. That's not my issue today. I mean, if you want, we could take that up at a different occasion.
No, because
what I'm asking is, what's the definition of Tosis' Yerushalmi of the Iser Onen? And my first suggestion is that to define the scope of that Iser is limited to the Maisa Mitzvah. Why, I don't know. Maybe we'll discuss that at another occasion. But right now, again, I'm just focused on what is the nature of that Iser. And if the nature of that Iser is the Maisa Mitzvah, then Shomer Kona is a wonderful solution to that problem. I can at the same time obtain the Kiyuma Mitzvah without violating the Maisa Mitzvah. We don't want the Onin involved in the Maisa Mitzvah. Oh. What is the Kamash Malan? So let's go back to a very famous, this is a world famous Chakira about how Shomer Kona operates. Yesh Lachkar. One way of understanding Shomer Kona is that the Shomea somehow vicariously obtains his Kiyuma Mitzvah through the Maisa Mitzvah of the One, meaning of the Mavarech. The Mavarech is the one who's actually performing the Maisa Mitzvah. The One, the Shomea, is not involved in the Maisa Mitzvah, but yet he can obtain the Kiyuma Mitzvah through someone else's Maisa Mitzvah. That's called Kol Yisrael Arevim Zelzeh. So even though it's Reuven is doing the Maisa Mitzvah, Shimon can be Yotze his Chiyuv through the Maisa Mitzvah of Reuven, even though Shimon himself as a Shomea is not involved in the Maisa Mitzvah. And that, as we said, would be a perfect solution to the dilemma of the Onen. But there's another way of defining Shomer Kona, and that is that Shomer Kona works as a kind of a shlichus. In shlichus, we say that the maisa of the shliach is considered to be the maisa of the mishaleach. Meaning, although Reuven is b'mitzius, in actuality, is implementing the maisa, but Shimon listens and now links into the Maisa of Reuven, is considered as if he, Shimon, did the Maisa Mitzvah. Again, the naked eye doesn't see it, because if you ask the observer who did the Maisa Mitzvah, clearly it's Reuven and not Shimon. But Al-Pidin, the Halacha, says that Shomea Ke'ona means that the Shomea himself is considered like an Ona. It's as if he himself recited the Bracha. And therefore, the Braisa tells us ve'ein mevarchin alav, that this possible solution of having the Onen listen to someone else's bracha is absolutely invalid. Why? Because the Onen is enjoined from a Maisa Mitzvah. It means the Onen is enjoined from any sort of Maisa Mitzvah, whether it's a Maisa Mitzvah b'mitzias or it's a Maisa Mitzvah al pi din. If the Halacha defines the Maisa of Reuven as if it relates to Shimon, that means magically the Halacha says it's as if Shimon himself implemented the Maisa, then we're back to square one and we haven't solved the problem of the Onen. If this be the case, Rabbosai, then maybe we could take another approach entirely to understand the Havamina and the Maskana. The Havamina was that Shomea is considered One, and we'll take the second side in Achakira. That in effect, the Mevarech is considered the Shliach of the Shomea, and it's as if the Shomea Al-Pidin made the Bracha, but B'mitzius, he didn't make the Bracha. So what is it that the Onen is enjoined from doing? Is he enjoined from doing a Maisa Mitzvah befal, b'mitzius, the actual Maisa Mitzvah? And therefore, since he didn't do the actual Maisa Mitzvah, he can't say that he physically made the bracha. That's not true. We took a video of him and he's totally silent, he's passive. Or do we say no? That the Onen is enjoined from a Maisa Mitzvah, even if that Maisa Mitzvah is not befal mamish, but it's Al-Pidin. The fact that Shomea Ka'one engenders the Shomea to and upgrades his status to that of an Ona as if he himself made the Brach and he implemented the Maisa Mitzvah, that halachic status is itself enough to engender the Iser Onen. So whereas in the Havamina we thought that the Isur Onein depends upon the Onein actively demonstrating the mitzvah, that itself is pogea in the Kavod HaMes. But in the Maskana, the Gemara says no. Even if the Shomea is passive, he doesn't do a Maisa Mitzvah, but nevertheless, since Alpidin, the bracha of the Mevarech relates to the Shomea as if the Shomea had implemented that bracha, that halachic recognition of the Maisa bracha, that itself is enough to engender the Iser Onein from doing a Maisa bracha. But perhaps our both side, we can go even further. The Havamina was, you know what? Enochinami, we can agree that Shomea Ka'oneh makes the Onein into the Mavarech. And he is doing the Maisa Mitzvah. But nevertheless, let's go the other way. Let's say that, I want to suggest the other extreme, that the Onein is not considered to be doing the Maisa Mitzvah at all. The bracha, according to the first Tzadnach, Akira, remains the bracha of the Mevarech. Therefore, the Shomea, in this case the Onein, is not involved in the Maisa Mitzvah. Therefore, the Gemara thinks that this is a wonderful solution to the problem of an Onein. Let him hear someone else's bracha. What's the Kamashmalan? Not the way we said it before. Kamashmalan that he's considered to, through Shomei Akhtonah, to do the Maisa Mitzvah. But that the Onein is excluded from what?
From the
Kiyum Mitzvah. Correct. So again, let's just go over our three possibilities. The first possibility was to say that the Havamina was that since he's not doing the Maisa Mitzvah, therefore he's not considered to violate his Iser as an Onein. Kamashmalan, no, Alpidin is considered a Maisa Mitzvah, and therefore, since he's considered a Maisa Mitzvah, he's enjoined. The second way of saying it is that the Gemara understands that he is considered a Maisa Mitzvah. Gemara thinks, from Desfag, and even so, there's no violation of Haninus because B'mitzius he's not involved in the Maisa Mitzvah. And the third shot that we're suggesting is that the Gemara understands, both in the Havmin and the Maskana, that not only is the Onein non-involvement, his non-involvement extends not only to the Maisa Mitzvah befall the Mitzvahs, but even to the Maisa Mitzvah al-Pidin, and Shomea Ka'ona doesn't relate the Maisa Bracha of the Mashmia to the Shomea, but nevertheless, the Gemara's Mechadesh in the Maskana, that the Onein is Mufka from even what? Even the Kiyum HaMitzvah. Okay. Now, if you have the Mara Makomos page, you may notice on number Dalid, that there's a Rambam in Hilchas Brachos, Perek Aleph Halacha Yid Aleph. And I think that this Rambam is very relevant to our discussion about the nature of Shomea Ka'one. Does Shomea Ka'one mean, as we asked before, that's our Chakira for today, is he considered the Shomea as if he did the Maisa Bracha? And the Rambam makes a fundamental distinction between two categories, two cases of Shomea Ka'ona. What are those two cases? Do you have the Rambam? Correct. Whether he hears without answering Omein, or he answers Omein. And the Rambam adds an explanation, and he says that if he answers Omein, then it's Kemotzi Bracha Mipiv Dami. Am I right? Let me just see, I don't want to invent this, make sure. Okay, Perek Alpha Locha Yud Aleph. Perek Alpha Locha, which one is it?
Yud
Aleph. Yeah. He says, Kol HaShomea Bracha Min HaBrachas Mitchilos Vad Sofa, V'Nizkavein Lotzis Brach, Yidecho Vaso Yotza. Afal Pishalo Ona Amen. He says, V'Kol HaOna Amen Achra Bracha HaRei Zekim Avarech. It's considered as if he made the Bracha. So maybe the Rambam is really addressing this Chakira. What do we say in Shomea Ka'onah? Shomea Ka'onah mean that the one who hears the Bracha obtains the Kiyum HaMitzvah? Or is Shomea Ka'onah going a step further and it's establishing that it's as if the Shomea was Mevarech himself, he did the Maisa Bracha, the Maisa Mitzvah. And the Rambam says it depends. If he's just purely passive, all he has is Shmia, then the Rambam says that doesn't make him into the Mevarech. He's not considered as if he was the Mevarech. But if he goes a step further and he recites Amen, he responds with Amen, that itself is Kimavarech Dami. And then he becomes the Osa Maisa Mitzvah. So we could ask the following question then. When the Braisa says that Ein Mevarchin Olav, the Chiddush of the Braisa is that you cannot solve this dilemma of the Onen by having someone else make the Bracha. Well, what is the case? Is it a case where the Onen is just simply listening to the Bracha? Or is it the case where the Onen is responding Amen? According to our first two interpretations, that the Gemara is vacillating back and forth as to whether or not the Onen, if he hears the bracha of Shumekon, he's considered actively implementing the Maisim Mitzvah, because the bracha relates to him, then perhaps according to the Rambam, we can say it depends. What is the case? If the Onen is just simply listening, that's one thing. Maybe in that case, then Enochinami, he's being Yotze vicariously through Yenem's Bracha. He's not the Mavarech. But if the Onen will respond Amen, then we jack it up one notch, and then the Shomea, the Onen, is not just listening passively and fulfilling his obligation through someone else's Maisa Bracha, but it's considered as if he himself was the Mavarech. Just one second, Michael, and then the floor is yours. But if we go to third pshat, that the Gemara said, forget about it. The whole question of whether or not he's considered the Mavarech or not is irrelevant. Even if he's not the Mavarech, even if he's passive and he's listening to someone else's bracha, and the halacha states that he, as a shomea, is yotze with someone else's bracha, even if that remains someone else's bracha. But the chiddush is that he's mufka from the kiyuma mitzvah. Then, even if I accept the Rambam's distinction between shmia without an amen and shmia with an amen, it should make absolutely no difference. In both cases, ein mevarchin olav. And therefore, I submit to you that the third pshat is my favorite pshat. I prefer it. And the reason is because then I don't have to qualify according to the Rambam, oh, Ein Mevarchin Olav if the Onen responds Amen. No, it's an absolute rule. Ein Mevarchin Olav. And it makes no difference whether the Onen as a Shomer is passive or he actively recites Amen. Because even if the Bracha remains the Bracha of the Mevarech, of the Acherim, nevertheless, he's Mufka from the Kiyum HaMitzvah. Yeah, Michael.
So Rambam saying that actually you can be Yotzi with somebody's bracha without saying Amen.
Right.
But it's
just
a bit here, right?
Well, the Rambam holds that there's certain situations in which you have to respond Amen. Meaning, in halacha, according to the Rambam, there's a basic difference between listening and it remains someone else's bracha, as opposed to responding Amen, and that makes it into your bracha. And the Rambam goes on to develop various nafkaminas, situations where we want to go one step further and require that you respond to Amen and make it into your bracha. And it might have a nafkamina in other cases, even beyond brachos, even beyond tfilos. It might have a nafkamina in sota, where she responds Amen to the auror of the Kohen, who's mashbia her. Or, for example, in Edus, if a person's mashbia someone, it's not enough that he listens to the shvua, he has to respond Amen, and so forth and so on. But I think if we plug it into our case of an Onen, then if you go with our first two pshatim, then it might make sense to say that the Onen cannot solve his problem of obtaining the bracha if he responds Amen, because then he's the Mavarech and he's excluded from doing the Maisa Mitzvah. But perhaps, according to the Rambam, if he is passively listening, we could argue that maybe that would be the solution and the Braisa would not object to that. But if we go with that third pshat, that the braisa is being mechadish, that the onen is enjoined not just from the maisa mitzvah, but even from the kiyuma mitzvah, then the distinction between anias amen and not being on amen is totally irrelevant. However, Abosai, I do think that this Rambam could be very helpful for understanding the Rush. And I think on Yomara Makomo's pages, you'll see on number Hey, Iron Rush. The Rush is here in the third, at the beginning of the third perek of Brachos in Os Beis. And he says the following. He starts by telling us Amru shepamachas hayurizal. Ri is one of the Bali Atosvis. Onen. The ochal below Avdolah. And he didn't recite Avdolah and he went ahead and he ate his meal. Amru lo talmidov. Vinavdil lifanecha. Why don't we recite Avdolah on your behalf? Amar lahem. Hamrinan biyushalmi. In Barchu ein onin amen achrehem. Ulam achraso, kishabba mi beis hakvaros, amrulo lama encha os avdola, hamrina and tam mavdil, even though you ate, but now you've already buried the dead, so now you can certainly recite avdola. Veheshiv lahem, and we'll soon see that the maram is, Maram Rutenberg, or Nuremberg, whatever it is, he argues with this point. And he says, you know what, I was potter emesh, last night I was an onen. Heshiv lahem, this is the answer to them, me'acher shayisi potter emesh, b'shas chiv avdolah, mishum shayisi onin, is gam ata potter ani, shekem atzinu b'perikam dechagiga, chiger b'yom rishon. I'm reading this very fast because we're going to come back to every single line here in a minute, but I want to get to something else. Chiger b'yom rishon, mispashi b'yom sheni, kevin shenitcha b'yom rishon, shuvenim chay b'yom sheni. From Aram Rutenberg or Nuremberg, whatever the girsa is here, there's a whole to do about this. Kosav behilchas smachas shalom mi sheyesh lo mes b'shabbes v'lo nikvar ad lemachar v'lo hivdil b'motzai Shabbos nirali shemutol lechol b'lo havdola. The amrina in the perek misha meso mutol lefonov potu mikol mitzvah shabbat Torah. The Amrina and all of you shall me call Shepotim and Adova, we'll say you Nikra Hegdot. Okay, fine. Ubiyom Amochras, but the next day on Sunday, we achash Nikbar Meso, also Lechalat Sheyavdil. Why? Dokaimel and Barvi Psochim Toa Mavdil, even though he ate Saturday night, he can still make Avdola. The Amrina Nami Mishalo Hivdil Motsoi Shabbos Mavdil Vaholi Kol Shabbos Kula. And then the Gemara establishes that up until Wednesday of the week, week following Motzei Shabbos, he can be Mavdil. Fine. So that's going to be a tremendous subject matter here with the Minchas Chinuch, and we'll try and analyze this machlokes between the Ri and the Maram Rutenberg. Let's just summarize the machlokes, and then we'll come back to it a little bit later. What happens in the case of an Onen on Shabbos, and the Kvura takes place on Sunday. According to the Ri, since he was potter on Motzi Shabbos, because he was an Onen, then he doesn't have to do Havdolah even on Sunday. Whereas according to the Maram Rutenberg, it doesn't matter, there's halacha that Mishalo Hivdil Motzi Shabbos Holech Umavdil Ad Yom Dalet, and therefore he's chayev in Havdolah Ad Yom Dalet. Fine. Then, just one second, where does the Rosh quote the Yesh Min HaGdolim? Oh, here it is. Shamati, in this particular print of the Rosh, if you happen to have the same print, it's the end of the right column. Going on to the top left column, Shamati sheyesh gedolim sheomrim liacher to someone else lahavdil ubazeh niftar ha'avil. Now, if the Rush is quoting these gedolim, and we'll try to explain and analyze these gedolim, it would seem that he's taking this very seriously. You know, if he said Yesh Min HaKtanim, you know, somebody who did it, so that's not. But the Rush quotes this, you know, for all posterity to know, even though he disagrees with the Shita, that there are Gdolah who maintain that even though the Onen is potter from Avdolah, nevertheless, these Gdolah were very makpid to have someone else recite Avdolah on their behalf. And again, the Rush argues with these Gdolim for a different reason. But I think we should be arguing with these Gdolim for a very explicit, from the very explicit Brisa. What does the Brisa say? Ein mevarchen olav. So here's where I think the Rambam could really come to our salvation. Because again, the Rambam makes a fundamental distinction between two Shomei Kohanis, whether he heard it without responding Amen or responded Amen. Only in the case where he responded Amen does the Rambam jack him up to the level of Harehu Kimavarech Biatzmo. So it could be that what these Gedolim are saying is that in a classical case of Shomei Kohanis where you answer Amen, again, it's a little bit difficult to say so, but let's say, assuming in most cases, again, this is my premise, and you could argue with this, in most cases when a person asks someone else to make a bracha on his behalf, he responds, Amen. And in that case, he gets an extra kiyum because now he's considered a mavarech. So if you, in the light of this chiddush of the Rambam, that Amen jacks him up to a mavarech, we can understand that the Braisa is talking about a case, a classical case, where the Onen would, after he has someone else recite Avdol on his behalf, he would respond, Amen. That's a problem. Or any bracha, lav dafka Avdol. However, in a case where the Onen has someone else being mavdil, or reciting a bracha, and the Onen says nothing, he's just passive, then the Shomei Kohanim means he's being yotzei with Yenim's bracha. And in that case, the Yesh Gdolim want to suggest that even after the Bryce's conclusion, the formulation of Ein Mevarchin Olav, nevertheless, I still have a solution to the problem. But Medvar Mamurim, when does the Bryce completely exclude someone else from making the bracha for the Onen? That's only if what? The Onen answers Amen. But the Yesh Gdolim are talking about a different Metzius. They're talking Metzius where we warn the Onen to say nothing, to listen passively to the bracha of the Mevarech, and in that case, he would be yotzei the mitzvah of Havdalah. The Onen then is only mufka from the Maisa mitzvah, the Maisa bracha. He was never excluded from the Kiyum HaMitzvah. And if he can only obtain the Kiyum HaMitzvah, circumventing the need for a Maisa mitzvah, then that's going to be our solution. That's exactly what happens in the case of the Yesh Gedolim. So what I'm doing now is based on the Rambam, I'm going to read it to the Yesh Gedolim Shomrim Liacher Shehit Lahavdil, Liacher Omrim Liacher Lahavdil, Velo Onim Amen. Right, I'm adding three words based on the Rambam. Ubazeh Niftara Avil. Niftar Avil means two things. Number one, the Avil is Niftar from Isuro, that he's not allowed to be a Mavarech, because by listening passively he is not Mavarech, not even Alpidin. And number two, Niftar Avil Michiyuv Havdalah. He can be Yotzei his Chiyuv Havdalah. Okay, now we move on to the Machlokes between the Ri and the Maram. Let me just check here if I had anything else to say. Yeah. So that's good. So again, let's just review quickly the first part of the Rosh. The Rosh records a machlokes between the Ri and the Maram. We'll call him the Maram in Rutenberg, as to whether or not, in the case of a person who was an Onen, and the Kvura took place on Sunday, is he chayav in Havdalah? The Maram in Rutenberg says yes. Because the halach is holechu ma'avdil ad yom revi, whereas the Ri says no, he's not chayv in avdol. Why not? So the Ri had a unique understanding, says the Minchas Chinuch, of this halach of holech u'mavdil ad yom dalet. The Ri's understanding was that the real chiyuv avdolah is on motzi Shabbos, period, and that it starts there and ends there. There's no Chiyuv Havdol beyond Motzi Shabbos. The halacha says that if you weren't Mavdil on Motzi Shabbos, is Holech U'Mavdil on Yom Revi. That's a Tashlum. That's a Tashlum. We give you a second round. We give you another option. However, the Gemara tells us in Masechta Chagiga that in the case of Aliyah L'Regel, if a person was a Chiger on the first day of Yontif, in which case he was parted from the mitzvah of Aliyah L'Regel. That's in Yiddish, a chiger is a hinkadiker, I think, if I'm not mistaken. Right? Yeah. I haven't heard that word in about 50 years. Hinkadik, I remember. So, nispashet biyom sheni. Now all of a sudden he undergoes some sort of physiotherapy, some treatment, and he's able to walk. He says, the Gemara establishes that he's potter from Aliyah L'Regel. Why not send him on Aliyah L'Regel on Yom Sheni? He says, Kevin Shenidcha Biyom Rishon Shuv Eino Chayev Biyom Sheni. So we have to analyze the word Nidcha. What does the word Nidcha mean? Not literally. I don't mean literally. Nidcha means he was excluded or pushed off. But what does it mean in Lubdus, in conceptual terms? He has no chiyuv, exactly. In other words, Tashlumen only applies to someone who was b'shas maisa chiyuv, b'shas hachiyuv, chayev in the mitzvah. If he missed that opportunity, we'll give him a second opportunity to fall back position. That's called Tashlumen. However, if he was never chayev b'shaito, and the Shas HaMachayev in Aliyah L'Regel, for example, is Yom Rishon, we'll give you the rest of the Chag for another 6 days, a fallback position, a Tashlumen. But if he wasn't Chayev on Yom Rishon, there's no Chayev Tashlumen at all. So in other words, it goes like this. The Ri says that when Chazal established that Holech Umavdil Ad Yom Revi, everything I'm telling you now is the Minchas Chinuch, that means that we give you up to Yom Revi for Tashlumen, but the Chayev itself is limited, right? It begins and ends on Motzi Shabbos. Since the Onen was potter of Motzi Shabbos, there was never a chiyuv of Havdalah, there's no need to impose upon him Tashlum. Beautiful. Beautiful chiddush of the Minchas Chinuch. We mentioned it once before, but now at least I'm ready for it. Good. What do we do with the Maram who says that the Onen will have to be Mavdil after Kvura on Yom Rishon? How do we explain that?
Because he says it's not just the chiyuv on the day. All the chubav deal is that the chiyuv continues for
work. Correct. Is that the dalit is not a tashlumen, and the chiyuv of Havdol is not concentrated and limited to Motzei Shabbos, but the chiyuv of Havdolah continues from Motzei Shabbos all the way to Yom Dalit. Every moment after Shabbos, up until Yom Ravi, is a Machayev of Havdalah. So even if you weren't included in the Chiyuv of the moment of Motzi Shabbos, but on Sunday, you become Chayev in Havdalah. So it means that there's a fundamental machlokis here, Rishonim, as to how we understand this halach of Holech Umavdil Ad Yom Ravi. One way of understanding it is Tashlumen, but really the Chiyuv is concentrated in Motzi Shabbos, doesn't expand beyond that. The other way of saying it is no. The Chiyuv is not limited to Motzi Shabbos, it extends throughout all these 4 days, and it's not the Torah's Tashlumen, that's the Ikar Chiyuv. Again, Zrizim Akdim L'Mitzvah, so you start the best time to do Havdalah is Motzi Shabbos, but there's no difference between Havdalah on Sunday and Havdalah Motzi Shabbos. According to Maharami Rutenberg, it's all the same. You forfeit the Zrizim Akdim L'Mitzvah. So if you weren't included in the Chiyuv of Motzi Shabbos, but it doesn't matter, you're included in the Chiyuv of Sunday. So Sunday now itself, according to Maram, is Mechayev you, and now he's no longer an Onen on Sunday, it's after Kfur, he's Chayev in Avdol.
There's not a Machlokis, there's a Nimus between those, there's only a simple Machlokis.
Correct. Correct. That's the way the Minchas Chinuch understands it. Correct? Good. Now, let's take a look for a moment at the first lines, the first two or three lines of the Rush. And this is before he introduces the machlokas between the Ri and the Marami Rutenberg. It was Motzei Shabbos, and the Ri is eating. Why is he eating? He hasn't made Avdolah yet. And the answer is because he's an Onen. The Talmidim were upset about that. And they asked him, V'navdil lefanecha. Let's make Avdolah
for you.
Amar lahem. And his response was, Ha'amrina b'yushalmi, im barchu, ein onim achreim amen. Right, this would a little bit support our pshat in you know in the Yesh Gedolah that based on the Rambam that ain onim achreim ome. Fine.
Ona,
excuse me. Yeah, ain ona achreim ome. It's the onain, right? This word, the onain with an aleph should not be an onain with an ayin, right? Achrev ome. Fine. And then we get to the issue between him and the Marami Rutenberg. What about on Sunday? Should he do Avdolah on Sunday? But I want to focus your attention on the response of the Ri to his Talmid. And one way of saying it is that the Ri holds that there's no difference between Anias Omein and Shomea Ka'one. And even if he doesn't answer Omein, he's considered the Osa Maisa. So the Onein is not allowed to listen to someone else's Havdolah according to the Ri, because he's considered to do the to be an Osa Maisa. That's in my first shot. I'm suggesting that the Ri is not operating with the distinction that we suggested according to the Rambam, but rather Ri understands that Shomea Ka'one fundamentally in all its permutations means that the Maisa Bracha of Reuven the Mevarech relates to the Shomea to Shimon, and therefore it's considered as if he did the Maisa. And that's what the Ri meant by saying that the Braisa completely excludes any possibility of the Onein listening to someone else's Havdalah, because even if he does so, he is considered the Mevarech, despite the fact that he dropped Onein. Well, alternatively, perhaps you could say that the Ri accepted the fundamental distinction of the Rambam between listening without responding Onein and responding Onein, but rather the Ri held that the Onin is Mufka from what? From the Kiyuma Mitzvah. And even if you'll say to me that whether he responds Omein or he doesn't respond Omein, in both cases he's not considered to be the Mevarech, it doesn't matter. The Ri was telling his Talmidim that as an Onin I cannot listen to the Havdalah of someone else, because I am Mufka, I'm excluded from the Kiyuma Mitzvah of Havdol and any Kiyuma Mitzvah for that matter. So Rabotai, what I want you to think about, and we're going to come back to this in just a minute, what would be if the Ri, or any Onein, according to the Ri, would go ahead and make Havdol himself? Would he have violated his Haninus? That's what I want you to think about. Okay, but let's get back to that in just a minute. But perhaps, Rabosai, we could suggest another mahalach in the Ri. Even if the Ri would maintain that there's no problem with an Onein obtaining a Kiyuma Mitzvah, that's not what the Ri is bothered about. But rather, the Ri is saying that it's meaningless. If you would recite Havdalah on behalf of an Onein, says the Ri, that's just an act of, that's an exercise in futility, as we say. It would be meaningless. Meaning what the Ri wants to establish here, based on the Yerushalmi of Eimer Varchen Olav, is that the whole principle of Shomea Ka'one, that mechanics is completely suspended with regard to an Onein. When does Shomea Ka'one operate? When is it effective? Correct, if the owner has a chiv, and he himself could have done the bracha, so he can now divvy it out and appoint someone else as his agent to recite the bracha on his behalf. But if the person who's listening to someone's bracha, he himself is excluded from the bracha, he's not chayiv in this mitzvah, then Shomer Ka'one is totally meaningless. It makes no sense, and it doesn't operate. That's what I'm suggesting as a third pshat in the Ri. So in other words, what the Ri is telling his Talmidim is that the Onein is outside of the purview of the scope of Shomea Ka'one. And why is that? Since he's enjoined from Asiyas HaMaisa, so he can't be the Mevarech himself. Therefore, he cannot appoint someone else or have someone else make the bracha on his behalf. So once again, just to summarize, there are different ways of approaching the response of the Ri to his Talmidim. It could be that the Ri completely rejected the chiluk, the fundamental distinction of the Rambam, and even if Shomer Kohanah was passive, nevertheless, he's excluded from Shomer Kohanah because he's enjoined from Kiyum HaMitzvah. Or alternatively, the Ri might have said that he's not allowed to respond to Amen to the bracha of the Shomer, of the Oneh, and in that case, the Ri is maintaining the Rambam's distinction. Or perhaps a third pshat is that the Ri is saying that, okay, you've solved the problem of the Onein violating his Aninus, but you haven't successfully achieved your goal of Kiyum HaMitzvah, and the reason for that is because Shomer Kohanah doesn't operate in the case of an Onein.
Oh, then you wouldn't be violating your Aninus.
Correct, you wouldn't be violating their aninus, but you wouldn't have been mekayim the mitzvah. So when they said to him, let's make havdalah for you on your behalf, so the Ri basically responded that it's going to be meaningless. Now the nafkamina here will be the case that I asked you before, what if the onen himself went ahead and he recited havdalah? But what I meant to ask was that if we take the third pshat, that the Ri would basically hold that I wouldn't mind if the Onen would be Mekayim the Mitzvah, but Shomer Kohanah is not going to work. He's not l'chatchila permitted to recite the bracha, because that would be an insult, shall we say, to Kavod HaMes. But nevertheless, if he went ahead and he did so, and he was, let's say, derelict in terms of his observance of Aninus, but nevertheless at least grant him the Kiyum of Havdalah. Because if you say that the last pshat of what the Ri told his Talmidim is that, okay, you've solved the problem of Aninus, but you haven't solved the problem of Shomer Kohanah, meaning Shomer Kohanah can't operate, but what if the Onin himself made the bracha, and then you don't need Shomer Kohanah?
It's like a woman who doesn't accept on herself, you know,
right, maybe it would be like the case of someone who's part of a mitzvah, who goes ahead and does the mitzvah, then we give him credit for the mitzvah. Again, I wouldn't recommend doing so, and the Ri is not recommending doing so, because certainly the Onein should not be mavdil. But nevertheless, if he made Havdalah, we're not going to cancel the Havdalah. You know, that much he achieved.
He couldn't divorce anybody else, could he?
He couldn't be motzi anyone else because he's not mechuyev b'mitzvah, and Shomer Kohanah only works when you're mechuyev. But Rabosai, I think this all might shed a light on the machlokas between the Ri and the Maharal Mirutin. What happens on Sunday? So we said that the Onein on Motzoi Shabbos is potur from Avdola, and the question now is, does he become chayev in Avdola after Kvura on Sunday? The Ri says no, because what? It's only Tashlum, and he wasn't a Bar Chiyuva Motzi Shabbos. And the Marami Rutenberg says, yes, let him do it b'toras. Every day, every moment, generates the Chiyuv of Havdol. Correct? Ad Yom Dawud. Okay. I want to quote a Gemara that maybe would solve this whole problem, and would really simply prove the Shita of the Marami Rutenberg. Again, I'm going to say it in very extreme terms, but obviously it's just for the pedagogy. The Ri is wrong. I mean, chavyochol. What do I mean the Ri is wrong? I think I have a contradiction to the Ri. The Marami Rutenberg is correct. What is Motzi Shabbos? Motzi Shabbos is not just the minute after Shabbos. Motzi Shabbos extends until Yom Revi'i. And therefore there's no reason to limit the Chiyuv Havdalah to Motzi Shabbos. How do I know that Motzi Shabbos extends until Yom Revi'i? The Gemara says in Gittin, and if you want to make a note of it, you'll find this on Daf Ayin Zayin, Rashi Tevis Azaria. And what does it say on Ayin Zayin? A man says to a shliach, Kisvu utnu get le'ishti b'motzi Shabbos. He appoints someone to write a get and deliver the get on Motzi Shabbos. What happens if the shliach did not get a chance, let's say, to to write the get and deliver the get to the woman on Motzei Shabbos. So the Gemara says, Kosvin v'nosnin ad yom dalet. The ad yom dalet korui Motzei Shabbos. It's a pella of a Gemara. But I think it's clear-cut proof to the Marami Rutenberg. Meaning, the Re holds that Motzei Shabbos is only Motzei Shabbos. And anything beyond that, you could call it Tashlumin, we'll give you a second chance, you know, it's a Pesach Sheni, but it's not the Ikar Achiyuv. Says the Marami Rutenberg, excuse me, the Chalosh Shei Motzei Shabbos is a period of time that takes you from Shabbos up to Yom Revi. That entire shtickel tzayit, that whole period of time, is one shtick. It's one invisible, indivisible entity called Motzei Shabbos. Haraya, if a man tells and the shliach to write and give the get, deliver the get, the Motzei Shabbos, he can do so up until Yom Revi. In other words, even Yom Revi is considered a kiyum of the shlichus of Motzei Shabbos, because that's also considered Motzei Shabbos.
Yom Shishi
up till Yom Revi, correct?
Oh. Isn't there something special about Motzei Shabbos?
Oh, can you say it a little better? That's what I'm asking, Michael. Why is there no steerer to the Re from the Gemara Git? The Re could agree 100% that Motzei Shabbos extends till Yom Revi. But that's not what the Re is saying. The Re is saying something else. What is the Mechayev of Havdol according to the Re? Not Motzei Shabbos, because then we're in trouble, because then I think the Gemara Gittin establishes Motzei Shabbos extends till Wednesday. But no, there's a different Mechayev. What's the Mechayev?
What's Mechayev in Havdol?
Yeah, what's the Mechayev in Havdol?
You're distinguishing between Shabbos and the next day.
Exactly. The distinction, the transition between Shabbos and Chol. That moment itself, the moment of... it's. You see, there are two ways of understanding the Re, and I think one is incorrect. One way of understanding the Re is that Motzei Shabbos goes until daybreak on Sunday morning. No, that's not what the Re is saying, because that's totally incorrect. Because Motzei Shabbos really extends all the way till Yom Revi. What the Re is saying is that Havdalah is engendered by that moment in which Shabbos ends and it becomes Chol. The Hafkav Kedusha Shabbos is what engenders that moment, engenders the Chiyuv of Havdalah. Oh, now the Re makes beautiful sense. Even if Motzei Shabbos extends until Yom Revi, that's irrelevant. The Machayev, the moment, the critical moment in which the Chiyuv emerges is the moment that Shabbos leaves, you know, the end of Shabbos. At that moment, he was an Onen. So he was completely excluded from the Chiyuv of Havdalah, and therefore there's no Chiyuv of Tashlum. Masha'en came according to the Maram Mirudenberg, he's saying no. The Mechayev of Havdalah is not the transition moment between Shabbos and Chol, but Motzei Shabbos is Mechayev in Havdalah. And Motzei Shabbos extends until Yom Revi.
That's
the Machlokus. Does anybody know what the first mission in Shabbos is called? Yitzias HaShabbos. Yitzias HaShabbos. I'm just borrowing this. The Re-Shita is a very easy way of remembering. I give you a mnemonic device for remembering the Re-Shita. The Re-Shita is called Yitzias HaShabbos. It's the Yitzias HaShabbos. That's the moment which engenders the Chiyuv Havdol. Whereas the Marami Rudberg holds, it's Motzoi Shabbos that engenders the Chiyuv Havdol. Okay. Now here's what I want to ask. Are you ready for this? What happens if a man loses one of his relatives, Rachmana Litzlan, at midnight on Motzei Shabbos? Meaning, well, I'm not talking in certain Helsinki, but I'm saying, or in, what's it called, St. Petersburg. But I mean to say, let's say Shabbos ends at 7 p.m. And 5 hours later, Nebuch, he loses a relative, or an hour later, and he hasn't yet gotten a chance to recite Havdalah. What would you say in that case?
You have the Chiyuv on you.
Excellent. Here, I think, even the Re would agree that he's Chayev in Tashlumin. Because what was the Re's Chiddush? Yeah. That Yitzias HaShabbos is Mechayev, and he's an Onen at the moment of Yitzias HaShabbos. But if he wasn't an Onen at the moment of Yitzias HaShabbos, then even though he becomes an onay later, he had the chiyuv of Havdalah, and the Ri would therefore have to agree to the Marami Rudbeck that up until Yom Revi, he's chayav in Tashlum.
So what would you say in the case of get that you mentioned before, if the Baal was kept Tosefah Shabbos until Sunday morning?
Yeah.
Meanwhile, the shliach went out and gave the get to the woman before.
So what's the issue? I didn't catch.
If you say because he's holding Shabbos until the following morning, therefore the get it's not a good shliach because his motzei Shabbos doesn't start till Sunday morning. Or do you say?
No, I think when he says motzei Shabbos, he means objectively whatever is considered motzei Shabbos for me and you. Okay, Rabosai, here's what I want to ask you. This is a famous question in the Minchas Chinuch and others. What happens in the following case? A 12-year-old becomes bar mitzvah anywhere between Sunday and Yom Revi, somewhere in that. Let's say Sunday was his bar mitzvah. Is he chayev in avdol? Does this, by the way, does this ring a bell to you?
It's not the only question.
Yeah, exactly. I don't know. If your bar mitzvah was during the period of time between Pesach and Shavuos, I have no doubt that this is what your pilpul was and your abdah had your bar mitzvah. But here's a similar case. A person becomes a gadol after Sunday morning, sometime after Sunday morning, before Yom Revi. Is the chlechora this question should be dependent upon the machlokas between the Ri and the Marami Rutenberg. According to the Ri, that it's the Yitzias HaShabbos that engenders the Chiyuv Havdalah, then he was a cotton at Yitzias HaShabbos, therefore he's not Chayiv at all. But according to Marami Rutenberg, who says that every single moment from Motzi Shabbos until Wednesday engenders a Chiyuv Havdalah, and that's why if a person is an owner and then he buries the dead on Sunday, he's Chayiv in Havdalah. It's not a din of tashlumin, it's a continuous machayev b'fnei atzmo. Then, in the case where he becomes a gadol on Sunday, or for example, let's say there's a famous discussion about shotesh and ishtape. He was in a state of a shote, and then he becomes healed. He becomes sane again, right? So, if he became sane on a Sunday, as the Marami Rutenberg would say, that he's chayev in avdolah, correct? That's a beautiful way of of clarifying the machlokas between the Ri and the Rami Ritz.
Would he really say that?
Was he really what?
No, would he really say that?
Who, the Marami Rutenberg? Again, if the Marami Rutenberg is saying that every single moment, not Petor's Tashlumin, but is a separate Machayev, there's no difference between Motzi Shabbos and Yom Rishon, Sheni, and Shlishi, then who cares when he became a Gadol? Or when he became Nishtate, he became Shofu Yvedaito.
Yeah, but in the case of a cotton,
yeah.
If he made Havdalah al Schinuch on Motzi Shabbos, and then he became a gadol on Sunday, does he have to make another Havdalah again because now he's chayev as a gadol and not a tefila?
L'chayra, according to Marami Rutenberg, yeah. But the only thing is, you have to ask yourself the following question. Is chinuch derabonon and is Havdalah derabonon? And this gets into the sugi that we once discussed, the great length about trei derabonon. You remember this?
Right.
And whether chinuch is a chiyuv on the father, it's a chiyuv on the son.
Well, but in any case, he would only be yotzer with chinuch, he wouldn't be yotzer with the actual Havdalah itself.
So that might depend. If you say that the chiyuv of chinuch is on the child himself, then what the Rabbanan established is that he's chayiv in that mitzvah, in this case, Havdalah. But it's obviously more complicated than that, but this really depends upon whether, even if I establish chinuch as a chiyuv on the son himself, is it a general chiyuv that encompasses all mitzvahs, or it's a specific chiyuv on each mitzvah? The Rambam, as we discussed at great length, says that a katan who ate a kezias, a katan who ate a kebetza could be motzi a gadol who ate a kezias in Birkas HaMazon. It would seem from the Rambam that the chiyuv chinuch is A, on the katan, and B, on this particular mitzvah. It's not some sort of chiyuv klali, a general chiyuv. Okay. So Rabbosai, what I'm going to try to suggest to you is that what I just told you is absolutely wrong. And even the Marami Rutenberg would agree that a katan is not chayev. And maybe this is what you had in mind, Michael. I'm going to try to say it in my own language, and if this is what you had in mind, then you should cut
it. It just didn't make any sense.
Intuitively. But what I'm going to try to, sort of take that intuition and flesh it out rationally and use the halachic universe, the terminology of the halacha and the principles therein. I would say the following. The onen, and this would be the Marami Rutenberg's understanding, is chayev in the mitzvah of avdol. The onen is chayev in avdol. And once that chiyuv is kicked off, then it continues. And every moment up until Yom Revi engenders a chiyuv havdol. That's the Marami root. Why is the onen chayev in avdol? I mean, isn't that something paradoxical to say the onen is chayev in avdol? And I'll tell you why. Because Shabbos has two parts to it. It's zachar v'shomer. It's mitzvah aseh and mitzvah lo aseh. Now it's true that the onen is excluded from mitzvah aseh of Shabbos. But nevertheless, he's very much included in Kedusha Shabbos. Because Kedusha Shabbos engenders not just an essay, but also a losas. I mean, 39 malachas called malach losasu. The onen is not, completely excluded from Shabbos. That would be ridiculous. Nobody would say in their right mind that an onen is allowed to violate the Shabbos. So Mimela, even if I postulate that the onen is potter from Shabbos as a mitzvah aseh, let's say, even if I would say such a thing, which we'll see soon see in Tosus is a machlokes rishonim and had interpreted Yerushalmi, but whatever it be, nevertheless, he's certainly included in the concept of Kedusha Shabbos. Kedusha Shabbos is alive and well as far as the onen is concerned, with regard to the Iser Malach of Shabbos, kol osa malach bo yumas. And that applies to the onen as it does to anyone else. Elo what? The Rabbanan said that he should not be mavdil. So basically the aninus itself prevents the onen from fulfilling his chiyuv of avdol. As long as he's an onen. But if his aninus terminates and the chiyuv that began on Motzei Shabbos, the fundamental chiyuv havdol continues, according to Marami Rutenberg, as explained by the Minchas Chinuch, up until Yom Revi, then he's chayv and avdola, because basically he was chayv and avdola with Yitzias HaShabbos, with Motzei Shabbos. Narvas, he couldn't fulfill his chiyuv havdola because of his aninus. Once we remove aninus, the blockage has been removed, and we go back to square one, the chiyuv. In other words, Marami Rutenberg is not saying that you can invent a chiyuv on Tuesday for Avdullah if there was no possibility of a chiyuv on Motzei Shabbos. But the Marami Rutenberg is saying that the onen is included in the chiyuv of Motzei Shabbos. Elo what? He can't recite Avdullah b'fal because he's excluded from mitzvahs, but at least he's in the chiyuv and the concept of Avdullah, Avdullah ben Kodesh Lachol, is very much alive and well with regard to the onen. Not so in the case of a katan, or the case of a shoteh. He, at least as far as the Iker Din is concerned, I know that Alan's thinking about chinuch, but let's leave out chinuch. We'll talk about the case of a shoteh, right? And then we'll get to chinuch. As far as the shoteh is concerned, he doesn't have the Kedusha Shabbos. A katan also doesn't have Kedusha Shabbos midoraisa. Maybe b'toras chinuch he should do it. Is Memela, even the Marami Rutenberg, and I think, Michael, this is what you were saying before, intuitively, but I'm trying to flesh it out, he would agree that the Katan should not be Chayv and Avdol on Sunday or Monday or Tuesday, because he was completely excluded from Kedusha Shabbos, and the entire concept of Avdolah in its pure form, not in its Chinuch form as an exercise, but Avdolah Mamish is irrelevant to the Katan. He's basically a Gavra who's Mufka from Avdolah. Is Memela, even the Marami Rutenberg would say that on Sunday when he becomes a Gadol and has Bar Mitzvah, he's not Chayv and Avdolah. because he was mufka. So we manavshach. If I go with the re, then Yitzias HaShabbos is Machayv and the rest is Tashlumen. So he was not Chayv at the moment of Yitzias HaShabbos. Forget about Tashlumen. But you're going to tell me, but at least let the cotton be Mavdil at his bar mitzvah, according to Marami Rutenberg. And I'm telling you that Marami Rutenberg would not advocate that a cotton, when he becomes bar mitzvah, the first mitzvah he should do is Avdolah. I'm talking if he became a bar mitzvah on Sunday, Monday, or Tuesday. Why? Because he didn't have the Kedusha Shabbos. And if he didn't have the Kedusha Shabbos, he didn't have Avdolah. And if he didn't have Avdolah, you can't start the process of a chiyuv that begins and is kicked off on Motzi Shabbos and continues every moment until Yom Ravi, according to the Shita of the Marami Rutenberg. Now the Rosh quotes the Gedolim, correct? And the Gedolim said, let's have someone else recite Havdolah on our behalf. This is on Motzi Shabbos. L'chora, according to the Ri, this makes no sense at all, because the Ri holds that Yitzias HaShabbos doesn't engender the Chiyuv. According to the Maram, I would also say it makes no sense, because the Maram holds that an onen is a lav bar chiyuva. So what are the Yesh Gedolim saying? They are saying that in a sense the onen is a bar chiyuva, and he has the chalos chiyuv avdolah, but because of his haninus, he's required to be mavatel the kiyum of Havdolah. Meaning the whole mitzvah Aninus, and we've discussed this at great length in the past, is fulfilled through what? Through being mevatel the mitzvahs. And therefore, he should not involve himself in any way, shape, or form in the mitzvah of Havdolah. Okay, fine. Now I ask you the question, what happens if the Onein himself is Mavdil on Motzi Shabbos before Kfura? I would say, according to the Maram, he's not Yotzi at all, because he's completely excluded from the Chiyuv. But according to the Yesh Gedolim, who say that, okay, he should not get involved in Avdolah, right? And why is that? Because his Kiyum of Aninus is to be Mafkia the mitzvahs and be mavatel them. But if he went ahead and he was mavdil, then I would say that he had the chiyuv, and adarava, the whole kiyum of haninus, which enjoins him from doing avdolah, is based on the fact that he's mechuyev in avdolah. It's because he's being mavatel his chiyuv, that's why he's not allowed to make avdolah. He went ahead and he made avdolah, and therefore I would say that he was yotze his chiyuv, because again, he has the chiyuv of the mitzvahs.
Isn't there a mitzvah
above Havera? Oh, so maybe you could say it's a mitzvah above Havera. But wait a second. The Rosh says that the machlokis here is whether or not he was yotze al yidei acherim sheyavdilu b'shvilo, right? The Talmidim said, let's be mavdil on your behalf, and the Ri said no. Correct? Why didn't they have a different machlokes? The Rosh doesn't quote a machlokes be rishonim between the Yesh Gedolim and others if the Onein was Mavdil himself. So that's why I would say that the Havdolah of the Onein, according to the Yesh Gedolim, is not an Avera. It's not that he violated an Isur, but rather through this Havdolah, he has forfeited his kiyum of Avelus. In other words, how is he mekayim the Avelus? By non-performance of the mitzvah. Okay, fine. So he forfeited his kiyum of Avelus, but at the same time, he was mekayim the mitzvah of Havdolah. So again, what I'm suggesting is the following, that mitzvah above Aver is not an issue here. The issue is whether or not the Onein is chayav in Havdolah. So according to the Maram, he's not chayav in Havdolah. Again, he's not Mufka from Avdolah, but he's not Chayev in Avdolah. And therefore, if he was Mavdil B'toris Lav Bar Chiyuva, he's not Yotze. His Avdolah is meaningless. It's like you said before, Brachal Batola. Mashenki, according to the Yesh Gedolim, who say that he should have someone else make the Avdolah on his behalf, it means that the Yesh Gedolim really paskin that an Onein is a Bar Chiyuva. However, we don't accept the Yesh Gedolim that he's a Bar Chiyuva, and therefore his Havdolah is meaningless. But according to the Yesh Gedolim, what I was wondering is, what happens if the Onein would go ahead and make Havdolah himself? So again, the Eish Gedolim would appoint someone else to do the Avdolah because the Eish Gedolim would not want to undermine the Kiyum of Haninus. And the Kiyum of Haninus is by being Mavatel, the mitzvah of Havdolah in this case. But nevertheless, if let's say he went ahead and he made Havdolah, all right, I have to grant you that he did not fulfill his mitzvah of Haninus properly, but nevertheless, I would still say that he obtained the Kiyum of Havdolah. When do we say mitzvah of Avera? That's if you performed an Avera, and through that Avera you want to be Mekayim of Mitzvah. That's not what I'm saying over here. There's no Avera per se, it's just a forfeiting a kium of aninus.
Why is it not an avera? I mean, we have a lot to say. If aninus is
okay. So perhaps we could say that the reason why, Alan, I won't accept your pshat. The reason why the Rush, when he quoted the Eish Gedolim, he didn't mention the issue of if the Onan went ahead and made Avdol for himself, which itself should be.
Couldn't do it.
Because maybe the Rush held that the Re would admit that if the Onan went ahead and made Avdol himself, he would not be Mekayim the mitzvah of Avdolah. Maybe it would be an Avera on his behalf that he made Avdolah. But in the case where he appointed someone else to recite Havdolah on his behalf, he did not actively violate his Haninus. On the other hand, he is a Bar Chiyuv according to the Re and Avdolah. So how do we solve that problem? By listening to others. The Yerushalmi says, and the Braisa here quoted in the Bavli, that Ein Mevarchin Olav, the Yesh Gedolim hold that means that he's not obligated to do so, or alternatively, he should not be answering Amen if you go with the Rambam. But nevertheless, there is a possibility, according to the Eish Gedolim, that if he drops the Amen, he can fulfill his Chiyuv Havdolah by hearing Havdolah from Achim. So Rav Osa, I want to stop the Shia now. We'll continue asking questions later. But I would like you to focus for next week on this long Tosfos, V'eino Mevarech. Again, it's quite, what's the word I'm looking for? It's overwhelming, you know, it dazzles you when you see this long Tosfos. But I think we could be able to plow through it and get something out of it. Okay, then, that's what I'm hoping for next week.
Talking about that you shouldn't make a separate Havdalah just for him, but to keep in mind to be Motzim when you're making Havdalah for yourself would be Mutu, because that would not be the aim of Arkham Allah.
But even so, you have to agree, yeah. I think, that the Eish Gedolim are saying that the Onen is Chayv in Avdol. Yeah. So that's...
That would be the little connection why they would not be over on... they would not be disagreeing with Eim of Arkimala.
Correct. But I would say that the Re and the Marami Rutenberg would never have established this kind of arrangement for someone else to make Avdolah, because they hold that Avdolah for an Onen is meaningless. He's a Lav Bar Chiyuva.
Yeah. The
difference between the Marami Rutenberg is that since he's not Mufka from Avdolah, therefore he can pick up the Chiyuv later on, until Yom Shlishi.
That all works out fine. The only thing I don't understand conceptually, I just don't understand, what does it mean to say he's Yotzei Yotzei with what? What is he Yotzei with when he says he hears a bracha,
right?
But he doesn't answer Amen. But if he answers Amen, it's as if he made the bracha. So right. what is he Yotzei with when he says
the
Kiyum HaMitzvah. The Kiyum HaMitzvah, whatever the bracha is, in our case, Havdolah.
What if the mitzvah is the bracha? That's it. That's the only mitzvah.
Right, so if he hears someone else's bracha, and we apply Shomer Ka'ona, with all the conditions.
But that's what he says, Amen.
No, but the Rambam says that Shomer Ka'ona works even without Amen.
Yeah, but so what does he mean when he don't... so what's the difference between answering Amen? Let's say Shmon Esrei. Let's say you listen to Shmon Esrei. Okay?
So it's not enough.
So you
have to answer Amen.
Right. If you don't answer,
you're talking about Chazor Sashatz or your own personal?
No, Chazor Sashatz.
Right. If, let's say, somebody's reciting Shmon Esrei on your behalf because you're not reciting Shmon Esrei, then you could be Yotzei without Omen. But the Rambam says that as far as Chazor Sashatz is concerned, every member of the Tzibur has to answer Omen.
Yeah, but if you're not...
He has to become a Mavarik, a Mispala.
He's being Yotzei and you didn't say your own Shmon Esrei, then you don't have to answer Omen.
No. Then you can be yotzei by with through Shomei HaKohanim. But the Rambam holds that when it comes to Chazoras HaShatz, where the whole tzibur has to get involved in one Maisa Bracha, you can only plug into the Maisa Bracha if you answer Amen.
Okay, you're making a difference.
And there are other nafkaminas, you know, let's say it could be in Sota we need Bracha Mipia or in Eidus. I mean, again,
that's for sure.
We discussed this a great length. I have to do a Chazara and all that that whole business about Amen.
You're making a different a distinction between Shomei HaKohanim and Arvus.
Well, one thing is clear, that Shomei HaKohanim is contingent upon Arvus, meaning if there's no Arvus, there's no Shomei HaKohanim, that's for sure. Now, whether Shomei HaKohanim is exactly the same as Arvus, I don't know. It could be that Arvus creates a some sort of a relationship, but it must be there. For example, I would say that Shomei HaKohanim would not operate if a katan is being mevarech on behalf of a gadol,
right,
because there's no arvus. Now, the big question is that Rashi seems to assume, and the Rambam, that there are certain situations in which the katan can be mevarech for a gadol, and how does that work? Okay, but that already we had a long discussion. But I think, again, what I want to get out of this shiur, that's why I didn't get a chance to review, is the approach of the Havamim. How do we analyze the Havamim, the Maskana of Mevarchin Olav? Now, should we make the bracha on behalf of the Onen and he listens? And we had a couple of different Mahalchim on that. The Machlokas between the Yesh Gedolim and the others about whether or not the Onen should listen to Avdolah from others. And the Machlokas between the Ri and the Maram about whether or not on Sunday after Kfura, he's no longer known, and he should now recite Havdol.
Right, right,
and we tried to link that up with the famous question of a person who becomes bar mitzvah during the first 3 days. So that's what I wanted to focus our attention on.
Shadus and Shuvus of Rabbi Kiva Eger, so a long time back, about having to do with Havdolah for a woman.
That's to do with Arvus. Yeah, we discussed it. I mean, I could find it for you online.
Well, I remember
if you want to, you ever listen to my shiur online?
Sure.
You do? So I have a shiur on this Rabbi Kiva Eger online.
Yeah, I think it's the first.
If you plug in the word Arvus, you might be able to find it.
I think it's the first Shas and Jew is
Rabbi
Kiva Eger.
Could be.
The first item.